Let's start with the latest news on this attack, Israeli attack on Iran. And we've seen that Israelis said that within the next 48 hours, they're going to attack Iran. And after that, we see last night, we saw that they're attacking Iran with drones. I don't know, with missiles, drones. How did you find this attack on Iran?
There's something very strange going on here. Whatever that was last night was not what I would call a credible attack. It was, at best, it was a symbolic effort, maybe a face-saving effort. Oh, yeah, we attacked Iran back, so therefore we don't have to retaliate anymore. Maybe, you know, maybe that was the intent. Because I am really struck by the divergence in the coverage of the so-called attack between what happened here in the United States, and I know what happened on like RT and inside Iran and on Al Jazeera. I'd be curious what, you know, what the perception was in Brazil. But in the United States, I was starting to write my, you know, daily piece for my blog, and I was focusing on the, what I called the shift. I saw a shift in Israel's narrative yesterday. Prior to Thursday, the Israeli narrative had been consistent with the West, with, boy, we kicked some ass. You know, we went out there, we got 99% of those Iranian drones, we shot them down. Hey, they were nothing. We major victory. Woo, cheer, you know, get the cheerleaders out. And yesterday, all of a sudden, a shift. They tried to target our nuclear facility at Dimona, and they caused some damage. Now, we've had, you know, today's the 19th, so we'd had at least 4 days that they could have reported that. And they didn't come up with that till just yesterday. Oh, yeah, they tried to target our nuclear facility. So that's, you know, that's when I got my first hint of what I call cow manure. They don't just come up with that because they suddenly discovered it. They couldn't figure it out before. There's a purpose behind it. So that's number one. In fact, when I saw that, I thought they're laying a predicate that they will justify an attack on Iran's nuclear facilities and ones at Isfahan. So as I'm writing this, you know, my son says, hey, there's breaking news. So now in the United States, we get what I call the breaking news mumbo. You know, the dance, you know, the dance to the right, dance to the left, shake it, shake it, shake it. You know, everybody's, oh my God, breaking news. We go to Jennifer Griffiths at the Department of Defense, and this, they're calling in this expert, that expert, this retired general, that retired general. What does this mean? Oh my God, this is the start of World War III. Israel, but then they said, limited strike. I'm going, that's a curious phrase, limited strike. That, you know, either you get punched or you don't get punched. If you're pulling your punches, that's a limited strike. So that's telling me right away there's some punch pulling going on here, that this is not necessarily serious. And I had just happened 40 minutes before all this broke to have been on the English version, Iran's English channel, Press TV. And they were interviewing me about this very thing, about the, you know, Israel on the one hand said, oh, we got, you know, shot them 99% down, and now they're saying, oh, we got, they hit us at Dimona. You know, I told them, I said, I wish Israel would make up its mind. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde here. You know, it's a dual personality. They got to figure out what they are. Well, we identify as attacking, or we identify as being attacked. Now, so I was back on, you know, texting back and forth with one of the correspondents on Press TV. And they were like sort of scratching their heads saying, yeah, well, what we're hearing is just drones and that they're all shot down. Well, I'm thinking that's a far cry from missile strikes and aircraft screaming overhead. And yet at that point, you could compare the contrast, compare and contrast U.S. media. Oh, my God, this is an attack. This is, you know, it's ramping it up, hyping it up, jumping around. And then I'm watching Al Jazeera and switching over to RT, as well as Press TV. And they're all like, yeah, there's reports, but they weren't making a big deal about it. So I'm looking at this, and because of the nature of the attack, apparently it was very small, four very small drones that were shot out of the sky. And even if they had hit the base, it wouldn't have done much damage at all. And, you know, led me to believe that this may very well have been an intelligence operation, U.S. backed and supported, designed to create this narrative of, oh man, Israel has now struck back. Yeah, they've got the revenge. So let's move on. You know, to sort of defuse the need, the demands here. Now, it doesn't take the pressure off of Bibi in Israel, because in Israel, a lot of people saw through the smoke screen going, even, you know, Itamar Ben-Gavir, that was lame. You know, that was weak. They're expecting a, you know, big boom, and they didn't get anything. You know, not much happened. Now, you can compare and contrast Israel's response when it was bombed by the Iranian missiles and Iran's response to this Israeli attack. Yesterday, Iran, within an hour and a half of that attack, you could find on social media, on Telegram, live footage from the military base outside of Isfahan that was supposedly hit. They got dudes standing, you know, the anti-aircraft defense gun is up there. They're up there just, you know, chatting, looking around, wiping the sleep from their eyes. You know, it was still early morning. Nobody running around, no sirens blaring, no smoke going off, but they showed it. Here we are 5 days after the attack on the Israeli air bases that didn't cause any damage and didn't do anything. You're not seeing any videotape from there. They didn't take their news crews out there. Yeah, let us show you what a crock of crap this was from Iran. Nothing burger. Take care. Come on, guys, film it. They didn't do that. They used some old stock footage, and some of it looks like to have been doctored. So that tells me that Iran actually hit the targets and hit it with something. But right now, I think Iran's position is quite clear. If Israel really does attack them and attack in force against Iranian assets, Iran will retaliate. And I think Israel is now starting to have to take that on board as planning consideration. What do they actually want to do? You know, they clearly didn't think through the implications of hitting the Iranian annex at their embassy in Damascus. Yeah, it was sort of, again, if this didn't involve such tragic loss of life and such devastating human carnage, the Israeli ambassador, a guy named Gildad, I mean, he's a genuine Neanderthal, but he was on complaining about bringing on the Palestinians as a full-fledged member of NATO would be a violation of international law. I'm going, good God, man, look in the mirror. You guys violate international law every other day with impunity. I mean, hell, forget about blowing up the annex. What about just bombing inside Syria and Iraq, for God's sake, and Lebanon? Those are attacks, full-fledged attacks on other countries. No matter how you want to excuse it, oh, well, we were going after terrorist targets. You know, terrorism has become the biggest excuse to go out and violate international law that we've ever had. And then, you know, they completely ignore the resolutions passed by the Security Council calling for an immediate ceasefire. So, you know, I don't want to hear a word about international law from Israel other than, okay, we're going to obey it. They just follow it when it's convenient for them.
If Ben-Gvir is not happy with this attack on Iran, do you think that Israelis are considering a continuous attack on Iran?
At this point, no. I think whatever has been done behind the scenes with the United States and with the Russians and with the Chinese, I think the Russians weighed in with the Israelis just letting them know, you launch any attacks against nuclear facilities or to attempt to use any kind of nuclear weapons against Iran, you're going to be dealing with us. Just understand what you're up against. So I think Netanyahu got that message loud and clear. Israel's not in a good position. They're continuing to kill Palestinian civilians right and left. But it looks like going to try to attack in Rafah. Remains to be seen if they act on their vow to go into southern Lebanon. They've been promising to do so, and they've been stepping up some of their air operations there. But by the same token, so Hezbollah's been responding with increased intensity and ferocity.
Do we know how capable is Hezbollah if something happens between Israel and Hezbollah? How much missiles and what kind of missiles do they have?
I don't know what their full inventory of missiles are, but they certainly, if we go back and compare to 2006, the last time Israel invaded in force into southern Lebanon to take on Hezbollah, Israel essentially, they lost that. So I would argue that today Hezbollah is far stronger, more capable, more lethal than it was in 2006. There's no evidence that Israel is more capable, more lethal, more competent. So I think Hezbollah is actually in a position to do a lot of damage to the Israelis if they dare to enter southern Lebanon.
Do you see any sign of the Netanyahu administration getting so desperate to consider any sort of nuclear bombs?
You know, I know that's always in the back of everybody's mind as a possible scenario. But then you have to ask, where are they going to use them? They're not going to use them inside Israel itself for fear of contaminating them, their own people and sacred sites. Would they do it in Lebanon? You know, if any use of a nuke by Israel is going to elicit a response. Countries as far away as Pakistan have vowed that they will use their nuclear weapons against Israel if Israel does something like that. Promise to supply them to Turkey as an example. Israel, it's one of these arguments that say, well, if Israel's survival is at stake, they're going to use it, which if they use it, it's going to mean their own loss of life and end of their country anyway. So it's a suicide. It's like the gift to a suicide bomber.
But how about Iran? Do you see any possibility or any likelihood to attack Iran nuclear bombs?
No. The intelligence community has been pretty insistent that Iran has not had stopped working on a nuclear device back in 2002. I have no reason to doubt that, except, I look at the competence of Iranian scientists and engineers. They're quite capable of building a bomb. They've already developed the missile technology for delivering such a bomb. So building that bomb itself is not a mission impossible by any stretch. I think Iran is content at this moment that it can handle Israel with just its conventional forces alone, which are pretty robust and deep. But this whole bugaboo about Iran trying to get nuclear weapons, the only reason they've tried to get nuclear weapons is they look around the region. Every nation that has nukes doesn't face the threat of an invasion. The nations that don't, they get invaded. The regimes get overthrown. So you look at that and go, maybe we ought to have nukes just to protect ourselves.
When we look at this attack on Iran, there was no comparison between what's going on in Iran, because I was following what's going on in Iran and what's going on in the United States on CNN, on Fox News. They were talking the way that it's huge. They're attacking Iran hugely and they're bombing everything. They've wiped out a real war.
Yeah, the Air Force has been wiped out. Oh my God, the nuclear plants are leveled. Oh, I'm going, what? It's just, you know, if that was true, we would see the images of it without a doubt. And we weren't seeing the images. It shows the desperation of the West to create this narrative that is so divorced from reality. You have to, you know, scratch your head and say, why are they doing this? Why are they acting this way? And so I came to the conclusion, part of this was to create political, to help construct a political narrative in the United States. And yeah, we've backed Israel, and Israel has now retaliated against Iran, and Iran's back in the box. And we win. Look at all the great stuff we did. That plays well with the Jewish voters. That plays well with the conservative Christians, who are a lot of evangelicals that are ardent supporters of Israel. But I'm not sure that does Joe Biden any benefit with his Arab American, Muslim American supporters. And because they want Genocide Joe to stop being Genocide Joe. And they want him to stop engaging in battles with other both Muslims and Arabs and Persians in the Middle East.
In Iran, when they're talking about this attack, it seems that they didn't find it a big deal. But when we see what's going on with Netanyahu and his administration in Israel, it's a big deal for him, because they wanted his administration, many of people who are far right in his administration, they really wanted to attack Iran. They really, they were insisting to attack Iran. And it seems to me that the Biden administration and the Netanyahu administration came to a conclusion that we're going to attack Iran with some drones, and you're going to just publish it immensely in the media to show that it was a big deal.
Yeah. That's what I started out by saying. I think this was an intel operation directed primarily at the United States and the United States public, because the information on it was coming out here before it was coming out over there, number one. And the access that was given to certain reporters like Jennifer Griffiths and others, people in the Pentagon, we'll give you the inside scoop. Here's what happened. And it turns out it was bullshit. I mean, what they were saying happened didn't happen. They weren't missiles. They were these, basically almost children's toys used to launch this attack. But it was just the intensity of it, and the volume was turned way up here. And that wasn't the case over there. It wasn't even the case. And this was not a case of Iranian mullahs trying to suppress information. This was a genuine case of, what the hell are these people talking about? What attacks? Because it's not even clear that air defense missiles were used in Iran to shoot these things down. It sounds like ground-based units shooting 50 caliber rounds may have downed it, or maybe a shotgun shell. Who knows? But once you saw that kind of manipulation taking place, you knew that this was about something else. There was something else going on here.
Larry, the other issue would be how people in Turkey, in these Arab states, would think of their leaders. We know that in Turkey, Erdogan was talking so aggressively toward Netanyahu and his administration all since this conflict started in Gaza, but he didn't do anything. Right now, when Iran attack Israel this way, just to show how they can react to any sort of attack on the part of Israel, how do the people in Turkey would think of Erdogan, in your opinion? Because they wanted this from Erdogan.
Yeah.
They wanted
I think there's a growing backlash against Erdogan. The recent municipal election about held a month ago, he suffered major loss. And so since then, he's been back out with his, gums flapping about, oh, boy, these Israelis are bad as Hitler. What are you going to do about it? You going to cut off the oil flow there, Tasip? Oh, no, can't do that. It's money in my pocket, money in the pocket of my children. So just as long as you know where your priorities stand, take care of you first and screw off to Palestine. Yeah, it's just, I think the Iranian action bought them a lot of credibility and support, even among Sunni populations that normally are not well-disposed towards their Iranian Shia counterparts.
We know that in this conflict, it seems that Jordan and Egypt and also Saudi Arabia and UAE have provided some intelligence to the United States and the United Kingdom, France. And how do you see this combination of these Arab states together with the United States? How do they feel right now after this attack, after the results coming out? And how do you see their point of view right now comparing to what it was before this Iranian attack on Israel?
Well, I think they're trying to keep things calm, keep a lid on everything, not have it blow up. And they face, they're being torn in two directions. On the one hand, most of their populations, the average guy, a gal in the street, they fully, firmly support Palestine and want to see their leaders do something about it. But when you get the people like Sisi and Egypt and MBS in Saudi Arabia, they end up having sometimes a different set of priorities than their, quote, loyal subjects. So they will pursue interests that pertain to economics and things that benefit them individually or as families. So it's a real, if we start seeing images of Iran being attacked itself and civilian casualties in any size, then at that point, you're going to see Iran really come back and go after Israel. Israel up to this now point, I think he's got lucky because this was a token, I call it a token attack, the first one. Yeah, 300, over 125 drones and, 80, 90 cruise missiles and another 105, 110 ballistic missiles. But that was only a fraction of what Iran has. If they step up to the plate, they could potentially, what they showed is they could overwhelm the Western defenses. And the West couldn't do anything about it. And that may have been, the Iranians may have gone, oh my God, or I guess they'd say, oh my Allah. look at what we can do. I mean, you start thinking creatively. Hell, can Iran produce 1,000 drones? You bet you they can.
The starting point of this conflict was that attack on Iranian consulate in Syria.
Right.
And my biggest doubt is why they did attack the Iranian consulate. Here comes the answer to this question. Do you think they were wishing to bring in the United States because they thought that Iran, after this attack, Iran would attack them viciously, and that attack can bring the United States into the conflict. One of the and on the other hand, they were trying to distract the attention on Gaza and what's going on in Gaza, in Rafah, this starvation, these problems, this dire situation that right. we are witnessing right now. What was the main goal of the Netanyahu administration?
Well, I don't know. I think you've laid out some sound possibilities that, you know, it could have been as simple. A, we've been tracking these Iranian IRGC guys for a while. We've got them identified. We want to take them out without, you know, just to show that we can. Without thinking through another step, what does that mean? If we take him out, is Iran going to retaliate? Where are we going to hit him? If we hit him, you know, maybe they didn't think through those secondary and tertiary effects. That's one possibility. Or maybe they say, look, we're in a tough bind. Things aren't going well for us in Gaza. We've got the pressure from the north, from Hezbollah. Maybe if we attack and attack Iran in this way, it's going to force Iran's hand, that they will have to attack us, and then the United States would come to our defense. Not counting on the possibility that the Biden administration says, whoa, wait a second. We're not about to get involved with another shooting war with you. No, back off. So, you know, both are credible, you know, hypotheses. I don't know if we'll ever know. All we can do is look at what has the effect been. So regardless of what the motive was, regardless of what the plan was, what has the effect been? In doing that, Israel created a motivation for Iran for the first time ever to carry out military strikes inside Israel, and they demonstrated the ability to do it. And it exposed Israel's inability to stop ballistic missile attacks completely. I think that's pretty significant. It also gave Iran critical intelligence on the location of Israeli air defense systems and what their capabilities were. Yeah, because they used using drones, and they weren't using even their most advanced cruise missiles. So it was like bait. Put it out there, let the Israelis shoot it up, let the Americans shoot it up, and we'll see, you know, who's doing what. What percentage were shot down by U.S. aircraft? What percentage were shot down by Israel's land-based system? It would be interesting to know. Were most actually because of the Western aircraft that are not under Israeli command? Perhaps. And so that would be telling. So just when you step back and start looking at the practical aspects of it, it has also now created a greater volatility, potential for immediate escalation, that if Israel acts in, you know, recklessly towards Iran, Iran's going to retaliate, and can retaliate in a much bigger fashion than it has up to now.
Larry, whenever we talk about Netanyahu, everybody's saying that he is a smart prime minister. So far, he was so smart. But in the last 5 months, 6 months, we didn't see any smart decision on his part. Failure after failure, this attack in Gaza, everybody's against Israel right now, all over the world. Right now, there was a red line of not attacking Israel directly from Iranians. Right now, that red line has gone. How we can call this guy smart when he did each and every failure that he could have done to Israel, he has done already.
Well, it's I will liken it. So when I teach people for carrying a concealed firearm, and if they ever have to use it, there's a phenomena that takes place that when people are engaged with a shooting, they get tunnel vision. So their vision, instead of seeing everything broadly, it narrows in, get very narrow. And then you get auditory exclusion, where you lose the awareness of sounds around you. You're actually not hearing anything. That's what happened, I think, to Bibi Netanyahu. They got so fixated upon what happened on October 7th. They lost sight of everything else. And they weren't looking at it big picture. They weren't looking at it as a dynamic process. They just got focused. Oh, my God, we got to respond. We got to punish. We got to kill Hamas. And when that becomes your dominant thinking, you're not aware of what's going on around you. Or you're not aware of how this may impact your relations with all these other states and nations. You know, it's really, I don't know if you've taken time to watch any of the UN Security Council debates, but this guy who's the Israel's ambassador to the UN, good Lord, what a thug clown he is. I mean, he's like Triumph the Insult Dog. He is insulting everybody. Going there, you know, Russia, hey, you're a terrorist state. Hey, Secretary General, you know, eat this and up your, you know, it's just like, this guy has no sense of decorum. And you think it's a good strategy to piss on everybody around that table? I don't. That's, you know, the art of winning friends and influencing enemies is that you got to have a dialogue and got to find some way to reach out and persuade him. Boy, he's no persuasion on his part. It's just he's basically given the UN Security Council the middle finger repeatedly over and over and over.